spell as no one, no one could be so sad with gloom everywhere.
I will call the meeting to order of the Public Engagement Commission for Wednesday, February 20th, 2019. And the first thing is Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Commissioner Mannion?
Here.
Commissioner Uribe? Absent. Commissioner Ibarra?
Present.
Commissioner Schneider?
Present.
Commissioner Massey? Vice Chair Bliss?
Present.
Chair Paz?
Present. All right, thank you.
I don't know whether my thing doesn't light up, so I don't know when I'm off and on. I'll just assume I'm...
It's the button on the green button on the microphone.
I hit the wrong button.
Yes.
I did the same thing.
So you have the button on the mic that turns
and
on
I
your
was,
mic.
I was and then you, the one that you
yeah, and then the other button just tells me that you want to talk.
All right, but are you getting the message? Because usually there's a light, and there isn't a light.
There is a light now.
Okay.
Because mine went
oh,
off.
Oh, there we go. Oh, okay. There we go. Okay.
See, look.
It didn't light up. It
there it goes. It's on.
Yeah. Okay.
That's on.
All right, we're set then.
Yes.
Sorry.
It's okay. Thank you. Well, it's a good reminder because I didn't have mine on. So.
Uh-huh.
We do have one public comment, and it's George Willis.
Hi, I'm George Willis. I'm a 30-year resident of Goleta, and you've probably seen me up here before, especially in the early days, and I really just came up here to thank you. I don't think you should take the... paucity of people in the audience as an indication of our gratitude for the hard work that you do, and you're doing it so well. What you did on putting a recommendation on salaries alone was invaluable to what we're trying to do, which is increase public participation. I know you're going to have a long road ahead of you still. Today is one of the most crucial meetings, is one of the most crucial issues, really is this redistricting. So I really only came up to say thank you. Lots and lots of people have commented on the great job you're doing. They're not here, but trust me, you guys are really, what you're doing is very worthwhile and it's deeply appreciated.
Thank you. That leads us to first item, commission organization, item A1, selection of the chair and vice chair. We have a staff report.
So on May 16, 2017, the City Council adopted Resolution Number 17-18, organizing the Public Engagement Commission. The resolution provides that the chair and vice chair shall be elected annually from among its members at the first meeting of the calendar year. So how we will proceed is that I'm going to open up the nominations and ask if there are any nominations for the chair. A second is not required. And then I will close the nominations and record the vote. Once we do that, I will ask if there are any nominations for vice chair. Once the chair and vice chair have been selected, we will ask them to take the center seats, and staff will assist with the moving of those seats and nameplates. So at this time, I will ask if there are any nominations for the chair.
Mr. Rebatter.
Yes, I nominate Mr. Paz to another term as chair.
And I will ask if there are any other nominations for the chair at this time. So with that being said, I will close the nominations and we will take a vote.
Aye.
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 Okay, all in favor. So we have the nomination from Commissioner Ibarra for Chair Paz. And at this time, are there any nominations for the vice chair?
I nominate Chair Bliss for another term as Vice Chair.
And are there any other nominations for Vice Chair? Okay, I will close the nominations and we will take a vote at this time.
Aye.
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 Okay, so we have Commissioner Ibarra nominated Ms. Bliss, and we will have Ms. Bliss as the vice chair.
Less work for staff. You don't have to change anything. We will move on to consent calendar approval of Public Engagement Commission meeting minutes of December 13, 2018. Seems like we met.
It seems like a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not going to say it seems like we met yesterday because it's longer.
It was last year.
Very good. Uh-huh. Someone want to make the motion to approve the minutes as presented, or do you have any edits or deletions?
I move we approve the minutes as submitted.
I second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you. That moves us to item C1, district election process. Receive a presentation on district election process.
Thank you. Well, why our Deputy City Attorney Winnie Kai is coming up to make this presentation. I just wanted to remind you that this was one of the items that we had talked about, helping to educate you on what will happen during the district election process. Deborah Lopez, who prepared the report, was unable to be here this evening, and so Ms. Kai graciously agreed to step in.
Thank you.
Good evening, Chair Paz and Commission members. So thank you for receiving this presentation today. So the district mapping process is kind of a we've never done it before. It's going to be our first time, so it's hard to give you all the step-by-step details, but it is mainly a process whereby we take public input about how to draw the districts, where the lines should be, and then we hire a demographer, these people who study census data and are demographers, as much as we know what demographers do. They will take the population of the city of Goleta on a map, see where it makes sense to draw the lines. In the city of Goleta, we have the 101 that kind of divides the halves of the city. So by and large, the 101 is going to be a very natural boundary line. And then we would draw the district lines to make sure that each district has fairly similar population. And then the process would then require us to bring back the draft maps that our demographer puts together, have two public meetings on that, let the public comment on it. And then the last step is for council to hold a public hearing to adopt a resolution adopting those districts for the city. So now I'm going to go a little bit more in some detail as to what your involvement would be. Certainly the four public meetings, and they could be more. The city of Goleta could choose to do more than four public meetings. The state law requires that there be two in the beginning to accept public input as to how the line should be drawn, and then two following it to accept public comment on the draft maps that we put out there. certainly it is, if it's turns out that it's a very controversial item, we could hold more meetings. Council could certainly advise us to vet the process a bit more. Typically, the law requires these deadlines. You know, there's all these deadlines on how soon you have to hold the hearings and whatnot. Those deadlines don't really apply to us because typically it's a city moving to district elections when they've been, when they choose to go that way after being served with a notice of violation of the California Voting Rights Act, and they have to follow this very quick process to become district elections based. The city of Goleta doesn't have that time pressure because we don't have to go to district elections until 2022. So when we entered into this settlement agreement with the District Elections Committee to create this commission, as well as to vet some of the issues that you guys are charged with vetting, including the district maps, It was done with the vision that we get our census data, and I think from 2020, we get that in the beginning of 2021, all the data. And then we would have a year to really vet that process, perhaps even a longer year and a half, because the election would happen in November of 2022. So we have a lot of time to really gear up and figure out what we would be the most policy-friendly process. So that's really all I had to kind of give you an overview. Do you have any questions?
Yes.
What I'm trying to understand, what process this commission engages in prior to the development of maps.
Mm-hmm.
What do we learn? What do we learn? What can we know? Mm-hmm. Separate from the actual data that comes from the census,
mm-hmm.
There probably are some questions that we would want to consider, even prior to the public. Like, why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, reviewing why we're doing this, what these districts look like, mm-hmm. and so on. What do we imagine? Where's the process for that? We don't have at the moment a process for that.
We don't, and we have to develop it as we get closer to 2021. We will develop a more fine-grained process. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that there's going to be four districts because we have five council members, and one of those council members is the mayor, and she is at large, so meaning she represents the entire city. So the analysis will be where to draw those four districts. And we have pretty clear markers of, you know, just physically where those would go. And I want to say that the population also kind of fits neatly into four quadrants as well. It's really interesting. Our little city's a little bit like a rectangle. It's essentially where you're going to draw Old Town. I think that's one of the more, meaty items to look at, is where would be the boundaries for Old Town. Because there is going to be a little bit, as we view Old Town, you know, there are more of a demographic, a specific demographic there than perhaps other parts of the city.
Ms. Bliss.
I had a thought, which is probably jumping 18 steps, but with regard to the number of public meetings, I do feel like we have had the experience on this commission, and I don't think it's an isolated experience of like not a ton of public coming and participating in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there could be some consideration, if there are going to end up being four districts, of there potentially being like a public hearing in each of the districts, like somewhere, so it was like close to each section, and then the people in that part of town can get a feel for it. That was my only thought.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea to hold a public meeting. We've certainly had the option to hold public meetings at the Goleta Valley Community Center, the Goleta Union School District building. So that has been discussed as being a meeting place for city council meetings in the past. Yeah.
And we'd be happy. That's a great comment. And we would plan to do outreach outside of this room. I know that it's frustrating that no one other than George, we love you, George, very few people come to these meetings, but they're not promoted as come and give us public input, whereas
right.
our input meetings are actually promoted that way. And this is a hot topic that I think a lot of people will be interested in. We see it at council meetings when we're talking about trees, or the library, or parking. We have a lot larger audience than we do for, say, budget appropriations.
Or skateboard parks.
Or skateboard parks. Right.
Did you have another comment, Ms.
Yes, Lane? I did. As my understanding of the situation is that we want to have an impact on an election in November of 2022. So it strikes me that we actually do need a calendar in order to have an impact, because there are filing dates that are earlier than the end of that year, and we really need to be also looking for candidates from the four districts, because it's my guess that the current members of the council probably don't live in those four districts, I mean nicely in those four districts, and may not continue to run. So if our goal is to not only have districts, but in fact to change the representation on council, and people feel themselves to be represented better, we need to have an earlier deadline than one that goes into 2022, meaning our work should really try to get done in 2021, so that somebody thinking they're running for office for a November election has to file, well, depends, has to file in the summer, probably for Goleta, but they have to decide before they file and do the paperwork and so on. So I know that I, to the extent that I'm going to still be on this commission, which is an open question, of course, that I think we actually need a plan. I mean, I think we need a plan for when we get trained to think about this and what's happened other places, what's happened in terms of the district lines for the county have been drawn and redrawn. There's probably a lessons learned from that, but really sort of look at our end date, so to speak, and work backwards a little so that we actually have a workable plan for all those public meetings and a workable plan for somebody who might want to run for office. So I'm putting that out there as sort of my wish for us, so that we don't think we're cramming everything into the end of 2021 if we can help it, but move at a more reasonable pace to lay this all out, but give the opportunity for people to actually consider running and to get themselves organized to do that, because it's not the simplest thing to do. So that's my complete thought on this matter at the moment.
I think that's a great idea. I think that the number of public meetings we would have, even if we decided to expand them beyond what's statutorily required, it can be achieved in the year of 2021. Mm-hmm. The census data will be available in the beginning of that year, and right. We should be able to move through this process very comfortably, not feeling rushed. And certainly Valerie is the master at press releases and social media, and she's going to drum up a big crowd for us. Mm-hmm. But we certainly can take more care, and we could do more steps to try to draw the public input.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point. I think there is, as a current body of individuals, some of us have 4-year terms, some of us have 2-year terms. Mm-hmm. And the same group of people will not necessarily make that, may not be making the same mm-hmm. sort of, or gathering that input from the community. Mm-hmm. It may change.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll work on a schedule for you. One of the questions that Ms. Lopez probably could answer if she were here was how long it would take the demographer to draw mm-hmm. the districts once the data is available. Because that's really a key component of if we get the census data in January versus April and it takes them 3 months to do that, that will define the start date of our public outreach process, because we can certainly have the two meetings before they develop the districts, but the post-draft district meetings will be particularly important, because we'll be looking for feedback on whether those are actually what the public wants. Mm-hmm. So, but we can definitely easily accomplish this in the span of a year, provided we get the census data in a timely manner.
Mm-hmm. We do have a public comment, so Mr. Ellis.
The chair has kindly given me 5 minutes. And it's not really enough time, so I'm going to touch on some things, and then you can ask me questions if you want to keep me longer. I'm going to start by just telling you that although Ms. Kai is normally 100% accurate, in fact, Goleta has had two elections about districts. The second one, in 2004, I believe, they were asking if people wanted to have districts here, and if in the case that the vote said yes, they needed a map. They needed districts. And the one I submitted is the one that went on the ballot. So I know a little bit about redistricting and the tools that you need. In addition, I was heavily involved in county redistricting. And so I know a little bit about this. I will tell you it's not cut and dried. I will tell you the demographer is only the beginning. I will tell you that if you want participation, you need some things. And some of this is counterintuitive. I want to stress that. So again, Ms. Kai, excuse me. But even the notion that definitely 101 will be a cutting off point is not necessarily true. Why? Because it's highly unlikely that you have equal populations north and south. And therefore, somebody is going to have to take something in between, because by definition, you need to be within 1%, I think, of identical population. Not citizens, not residents, population, number. Beating hearts, including felons. And there are a lot of things that are not intuitive at all. For example, some people would say, well, Old Town will be a district. Not necessarily. We in Goleta are part of two districts at the supervisorial level. And some people say, that's great, we have two supervisors. So it's not even cut and dry that you'll want to do that. And a demographer will give you data, which is primarily precinct populations and primarily some things about race, but not much more. And there's a lot of work that can be done, and the public can participate. And there's federal law, et cetera. Okay, what do you need? I'm going to do this really quickly. What do you need? One, besides the schedule, you need to have, I believe, if you want real participation, you need to have a seminar where a consultant comes and says, I've developed a tool. I haven't just given the demographic data. Here's a tool. It's a computer. And you can draw your own districts. Now, you got to follow some rules. They got to be the same size. They got to be contiguous. They can't be split all over the place. On the demographic data, there is a real contradiction. The demographer, and Ms. Kai will tell you, that there are two no-nos that are almost opposite of each other. One is to pack all the minorities in one district, and they'll only get one council person. The other one is to split them across five districts, and they'll never get a council person. Right. And that's really hard to decide what you want to do. That's not easy, and it's not cut and dried. Okay, right. So there's that. So you need to have a session that explains some of these rules and also has a tool and says, here's how you use the tool. Two, you need to have sessions that can be that you can have assistance. So if a person walks in and says, I want to do this, the computer program, which not everybody's computer literate, someone sits there. By the way, we did this at the county. Everything I'm saying, the county did. And they say, oh, you want to do this? Come on, sit down, draw your lines. Oh, look, this district's too big. Look, you pack these things. You've done these things until you get it right. And the person might decide, you know what we're going to do? We're going to draw vertical lines. Everybody's going to be across the freeway. You could do that. And you end up with multiple maps, which is really good. And you end up with the public having a way to participate. And then after you have that, whether you have it in districts or not, you kind of need to have the public in to look at the different maps, because that really makes it powerful. No, I don't like that map. I like this map. Oh, I want to split Old Town. No, I don't, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the decisions you're going to want to make, if I can go on, please, one of the decisions you're going to want to make is, do you want then to recommend one, two, or three maps to the council, or is this going to go directly to the council? And the council seemed to really appreciate that you gave them ideas, specific ideas on salaries. So they might want your recommendation. And by the way, council people may want to sit down and do a district. And you each might want to do a district. What I'm saying is, if you have the tool, it's not that hard. It's much easier than games that I don't play online. So what I'm saying is, in addition to, if you think what I'm saying is correct, you want to call for that. If you rely only on a consultant, and that person could do a map too, or it's three maps, if you rely only on a consultant, you won't get participation by the public. It can't happen. If you don't give me a tool, I mean, I can look at it. What am I going to do? Start adding precincts? Okay, I will respectfully stop. Mm-hmm. But if you have questions on our experience, I can tell you more.
Any comments? I just have one. I remember participating in the City of Santa Barbara's redistricting process because I was living in the City of Santa Barbara at the time. And it's very similar to Mr. Ellis's description, and there were there was a session where staff and demographers presented and gave all those in attendance the opportunity to understand what that meant about drawing and what you were seeking, what people should be seeking for in terms of that. And I think that is something that we should consider, in my opinion. It would give the public an opportunity to really understand it at a deeper level for those who really want to be involved at that level. And there was a significant amount of participation. I remember it happened at the public library, the big room that they have there, and that place was packed. It was huge, and there was a lot of people with a lot of ideas. And after that, people had the opportunity to start looking at what the possibilities were, and then they kind of let people do their free reign. They gave them the opportunity to submit their maps, a deadline, and people did. Mm-hmm. So it's something I think we should consider for sure.
I think to speak to the tool, that's a really good idea, and it does. When I was working with our demographer when we were dealing with the district elections issue that we had, there was mention about using a tool to, you know, placing it at certain community points, mm-hmm. Goleta Valley Community Center, school district, and, you know, we even talked about Camino Real Marketplace, mm-hmm. and whatnot. Those are very good avenues to try to get your typical person who's not as engaged in coming to public meetings and, you know, limitations of time and whatnot, to really put mm-hmm. those tools in the areas where most people frequent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know we're there's going to be a demographer to do it, the map, but what if we, like, tried getting the, like, public to submit their own maps and see what they think and then compare it to the demographer's graph and see where we could, like, draw the line and if we can meet in the middle?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I think that before the whole process starts, we can get the demographer, you know, have that public outreach first. Mm-hmm. You know, there could be even like a little survey or something, because the process does start with ideas about how to draw the maps, and then we would come together and look at draft maps, and that's where we get it into a lot of the fine grained conversation about where to draw the lines, which population. We did look into doing this process in early 2017, before we entered into the settlement agreement with the District Elections Committee. So I'm somewhat familiar with Mr. Rellis's saying, it's all coming back to me now. I think we definitely have a lot to learn from Mr. Rellis and other commission members and who have participated in this process in other jurisdictions.
We don't have far to look. City of Santa Maria just went through this whole mm-hmm. piece as well. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of people locally, that we could say locally, have gone through this process. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Any other comments, thoughts? If not, we will move on to item number D, our director's report.
Well, thank you. I have a couple of items to report back to you on. We've talked about Spanish engagement or engaging, particularly our limited English Spanish speakers, more in depth. And so I have an item going to the City Council in March for a contract with Isla Vista Youth Projects for a Spanish engagement coordinator that would work for IVYP, but work in conjunction with our division of the city manager's office to do Spanish engagement on our behalf. And I think that's a really great solution, because they are already in regular contact with a lot of the families that we're trying to reach. They have a significant population that resides in the city of Goleta, even though their name is IVYP. So it's pretty exciting to look at the opportunities and the potential there. And that's a 20-hour-a-week contract from our end of it, and that's 80 hours more Spanish engagement a month than we're getting right now. So that's exciting. As you may know, the council meeting start times issue came to the city council in February. Yeah, at the first meeting in February, and the council came to the conclusion that they'd like to start the evening only sessions with closed session at 4:30 and open session at 6 p.m., having two meetings a month on Tuesday evenings. So we'll be looking to how best to implement that, and they had the desire to start in September. So that is another direct result of your work, so congratulations on that. We had our first LEAD Goleta meeting last week, and LEAD Goleta stands for Learn, Empower, Advocate, and Discuss. It's a six-month program, kind of like a citizens academy for people to understand how city government works. And the first session, I believe we had 22 people, variety of ages, different experiences, lived in the city some 30 years, some 2 years, and so it's really exciting to have all these people that are interested in Goleta, love Goleta, want to volunteer, really digging in to see what the city's all about. Our curriculum last month was a talk by the mayor, who talked about how she got into politics, as well as an overview by the city attorney and the city manager. Next month, our topic will be finance, and so I imagine a robust discussion on that topic. On a couple of dates for you to know, on March 30th, we are opening our Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park in Old Town. Mm-hmm. The ribbon cutting is at 11, and the event will run from 10 to 2. So I hope you'll all join us for that. It's a very exciting day as our largest public park in Goleta opens. We have our community State of the City on April 4th at the Community Center from 6 to 7:30. And there will be a ribbon cutting for the mural that's now been created at the side of the Community Center parking lot, and that will start at 5:30. So if you're able to come to that, it'd be wonderful to see you there. And then there's a State of the City at Bacara on April 9th from 11:30 to 1:30, which is very similar content to the Community State of the City. One of the differences is that the Community State of the City, like we did last year, we will answer questions from the public, so the management team will be up on stage and we'll field questions. And last year we spent about 45 minutes or an hour answering the public's question, and it seemed like a really great time for people to get information. So we'll be doing that. And finally, I wanted to follow up on the Charter Cities discussion that we had in December. I know there are a lot of questions that came up after that, and so I spoke with the city attorney about how we wanted to proceed, and he made me aware of a code section that allows the city to pass an ordinance that would determine how a vacancy was filled. So if the key issue that the Public Engagement Commission wants to consider is how the vacancy is filled, there is a code section directly related to that that doesn't have to do with being a charter city. So I'm planning on putting together a report for the April meeting with more information on that, and we can discuss it then. But I did want to let you know that we're working on that, and I think that's it.
Thank you. Any future agenda items? Thank you. That brings us to item F, adjournment. I think this is the earliest we've ever finished a meeting, which is 6:30.
Wow.
Thank you all.
Thank you.